Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and we are pleased to welcome Greg Gabriel, the longtime former director of scouting for the Chicago Bears and now executive, the director of player personnel for the XFL's DC Defenders. Good morning, Greg. And Greg joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good. It's good to catch up. Good to talk to you. We wanted to get your valuable opinion, your background. Obviously, Greg, you have prepared for many of NFL draft, and you know what goes into that process and how arduous it is and when it starts and where you're at once we get to late March and where we are now. And the other day, I'm sure you saw the GM subcommittee recommended to Roger Goodell moving the draft back. Right now, it's scheduled for April 23rd to the 25th. As of this moment, Roger Goodell said, nope, it's going to be April 23rd. You're going to do the first round as scheduled. What did you think of that recommendation, and where do you think this is headed?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've talked to some GMs over the period of the last couple weeks. In fact, right before we had shut down the XFL for the season, I was talking to one friend of mine who's a GM, and he thought at that point, so this is basically 2 weeks ago today, maybe 2 weeks ago yesterday, that the NFL was going to push back the start of the league year, push back free agency, and push back the draft. He thought the league year would be pushed back 2 to 3 weeks, and the draft would be around June 1st or the end of May, so a month later. Obviously, he was wrong because it's still been business as usual, and I think that's, you know, the NFL thinks about what's best for the NFL as a league, not necessarily what's best for the individual teams. Having a draft now without having all the information that you need, and personnel people pride themselves on making decisions, be it right or wrong, on a lot of information, and there's several players where you just don't have that. And so they're going to go into it. I'm not going to say they're going to go into it blind, but they're not going to go into it with the usual amount of information that they have when they have a draft at the end of April. And part of that is, you know, there's certain guys, yes, you have the combine, so you got the medicals on most of the top guys. But that said, every year you got 35 to 40 guys who did not go to Indy who get drafted. So a little more than around, say around almost a round and a half of players get drafted every year. This year, those players, you don't have physical examinations on them. You can't get a physical examination on them. So are those guys going to be players that are drafted this year? I would say in most cases, no, because of that. And then there's players that you don't have workout times on. You know, we used to spend the month of March bringing in guys or doing private workouts at the schools, going to the pro days. More than half of the pro days never took place. Obviously, no individual or private workouts with quarterbacks. That's extremely important because when you do a quarterback, you're spending almost a whole day with the player. You have classroom time with them. You see how quickly he can pick up things, take it from the classroom onto the field, then you do the workout on the field, those types of things. So many of those things aren't going to be answered. And from a GM or director of scouting perspective, that's almost a nightmare.
But Greg, you did this for a long time. When this part of the year rolls around, given the limitations, you still have a ton of information. So if you were putting together your draft room without the ability to check the extra medicals or have those extra opportunities to meet players, what are you relying on? Because at this point, if you're talking about the first round, you've already fallen in love with a cluster of players, have you not? And that holds true probably for the early rounds of the draft, second, third as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make a big difference with the first two rounds. I think it would, when you get past that, that's where you're going to see the difference. So day two, day three of the draft, you're going to have selections being made that might not have been made had this pandemic been here. It just changes the whole scenario and the scenery of the draft, and that you just don't have things done. Now, there have been a few top players. There are certain agents that just don't want their players working out at the combine, and some of them are potential first-round guys that you just don't have the information on. You're going to go by the tape. And most of the time, the tape carries 70% of the grade anyway, but, you know, the medical plays into it. But in this case, you're going to have the medical on those top guys. They were at Indy. So really where this affects the draft is for the most part day three. Day one, at least the first couple rounds, I don't think it's going to matter that much. There could be some picks made that you might not have made had the scenario been different, but you know, it is what it is. Basically, you got to, you know, you're going to it a little bit blind, and that you just don't feel comfortable with all the information that you have.
Talking with Greg Gabriel, the former Bears scouting director, who is now the director of player personnel for the XFL's DC Defenders. And Greg, I know you haven't broken down this draft class, but I wonder this. You know enough about Tua to know what's at stake and how special of a player he is when healthy. But that's a key word, when healthy. And you saw the video this week released of him, you know, throwing and working out. I just wonder, without having the draft moved back and with having access to limited information, does that help or hurt a guy like Tua, who has the iffy status and has the questions surrounding his durability?
Well, it's a good question, David, and I think teams are going to look at it differently. Okay, you're going to have teams that have a strong quarterback need, and they're going to have the information that they had from the medical at the end of February at Indy, and then it's going to be some guesswork. I mean, that's why they have the recheck medicals, which are generally about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before the draft, because what you want to see is the progress that the player has made in that, say, 5 to 6 weeks between Indy and the rechecks. So you're not going to have that this year. So now you're going to be going off the medical that you did at Indy, period, and then, you know, make your selection based on that. Now, you know, if the doctors felt everything was good in the February Indy examination, then that's what the team's going to go on. They're going to say, okay, he should be good to go come July when we open training camp, and we're going to make the selection based on that information.
If that information is solid, do you anticipate him being a top five pick just because of the player he was when healthy on the field? Like, for example, if there were no issues about him, no uncertainty about the injury history, would he be a guy that perhaps would have been taken number one by Cincinnati over Joe Burrow?
You know, I got to dodge you on that one, Zach, only because of this. I haven't studied a player in this year's draft. And this is, in fact, I was having a conversation the other day with a friend of mine. So this is the first time since 1981 that I don't know anything about the draft. I don't know if I can give you 10 names because I you know, all last fall, when college football is going on, and I'm usually watching games and watching tapes, and I have been going back almost 40 years now, I'm watching guys that are in the NFL that were cut during training camp, and that's what all my time was spent on. So, you know, the so-called experts, they all say he's a top five, top ten pick. There was, you know, the talk back going into September when the college season started was that he had the, you know, potential to be the number one pick. I do know some people that have Alabama connections, and they really like the player. So from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, he's got a strong chance of being a very, very high pick. Now, you look at the fact that Miami, where did they pick him, five or six? They were trying to get him in before this freeze on visits took place a couple weeks ago. So obviously, because of that, they had a strong interest. Otherwise, they wouldn't want to bring him in as early as they were trying to. So chances are he's not going to get past the Dolphins in the first round, whatever that pick is, five or six.
Greg, this week, Jordan Ta'amu signs with the Chiefs, quarterback from the XFL. P.J. Walker, another XFL quarterback, signs with the Panthers. When you look at XFL talent level and the quarterbacks in the league this season, which you're well familiar with, you had to shut it down, as you alluded to, what's a safer bet for a team looking to stock its depth chart with quality talent? Going to the mid rounds of the college draft or the NFL draft of college players in a month or so, or the XFL, where these guys, for whatever reason, may have not landed on an NFL roster and may have gotten an opportunity taken away from them, and now they're sort of kind of looking to get back into the league?
Well, many of the players in the XFL had NFL experience. I mean, some had been on 53-man rosters, some as much as 2 or 3 years played in the league, and then, you know, but they were always guys that were bottom-of-the-roster type players. You know, you might have been your seventh or eighth offensive lineman, your number three quarterback, that type of guy. Well, in this case, and you mentioned Jordan Ta'amu. I thought he was basically, but even though P.J. Walker put up some great numbers with Houston, our last game was against St. Louis, and we played Ta'amu, and you know, we have limited amount of scouting personnel on each team because of the way our budgets are set up. So I had to do the advanced stuff. So I'm watching his tape. And his tape, as compared to what he did at Ole Miss two seasons ago, was a huge difference. He was making good decisions. His accuracy was good. His ball placement was good. He could, you know, extend plays with his feet. He had a lot of good tools. All he needed was the opportunity to play at a higher level, and he got that for St. Louis. So I think, and especially going to a team like Kansas City where Andy Reid has a history of developing guys, where I don't think he's going to be better than their number three this year, he could become a viable number two for them in the future. Say with PJ, I remember Chris Ballard had talked to me about PJ Walker when he was in Indianapolis's camp last year, and he was on their practice squad. You know, the previous year, he might have been with him for a couple of years on the practice squad. He was a talented guy, but they had better players in front of him. So once he got an opportunity to play, he showed what his talent level was.
Greg, I'm going to ask you the most popular Chicago football question that we're getting. Trubisky or Foles?
No comment.
Oh, come on, Greg. That says everything,
no,
doesn't it?
I can't, having not done the work, I mean, you guys have known me for a long time. I don't like to just throw it dart at the wall. I want to make an educated guess as far as giving you an answer. I'm going to say this. I think Trubisky's going to be a quarterback. And maybe that's not the popular thing. I mean, just look at what happened with Tannehill, where the Dolphins got rid of him. He goes to Tennessee, and he's what you thought he could be, he becomes in Tennessee. That's the last thing the Bears want to see happen with a guy like Trubisky. He had a strong year in 2018. You thought he was going to get better in 2019. For whatever reason, he didn't, and I didn't see enough to know why or talk to people to know why. So, you know, just from that standpoint, I just think that they're going to try to fix what was wrong, whatever it was, and give him every opportunity to succeed this season. But you got to have a viable person backing him up, and you got to have a viable person to give competition, and that's what Foal is.
Great stuff, Greg. Good to talk to you. Glad to hear you're doing so well, and appreciate your comments this morning.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.